How did these 10 buildings change America? This Frank Lloyd Wright house might have inspired the design for your house. This New York skyscraper just may have been the model for your office building. And copies of this Boston landmark are probably all around you.
I'm Jeffrey Baer. In this show, I'll be crisscrossing the country to visit 10 buildings that changed the way we all live, work, and play.
Houses, skyscrapers.
Back to Civilization, that's WTTW Chicago TV producer and host Jeffrey Baer. He's your guide through the new PBS program, 10 Buildings That Changed America. The show airs Saturday at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. on WKAR World. The show's creators, Jeffrey Baer and Dan Protess, take viewers on a journey across America to examine 10 influential American buildings that changed the way we live, work, and play. WKAR's Peter Wharf sat down with Jeffrey and Dan yesterday. Dan Protess got things started by explaining how the building list was narrowed down to 10.
So we actually didn't do this by ourselves. We had a panel of architects and architectural historians advising us, 16 people from all over the country. And so we asked each of them, you know, if they were doing a show called 10 Buildings That Changed America, which buildings would they focus on? And the 16 advisors all completely disagreed with each other.
Really?
So essentially then we had a list of, I don't know, close to 150 buildings to sort through. And we sorted through them using a number of criteria. First, no more than one building by a given architect, so it didn't become the, you know, the Frank Lloyd Wright show. No more than one building in a given city, so this wasn't a Chicago-centric or New York-centric show. And also, it's important to note that this is an architecture show. So these are not 10 buildings where important things happened. These are 10 buildings that were architecturally significant and that had an impact that influenced the course of American architecture.
What are a few of the buildings that listeners and viewers may be familiar with that didn't make the program?
As Dan described, it was a really difficult process and fun, but painful.
Yeah.
One building that was on our short list almost to the very end was the Air Force Chapel in Colorado Springs, which is a very, very modern building, almost like these tall extended triangles all sort of interlocking with each other. That building was on our short list right up almost till the end. We don't have a California modern house in the show, but we almost did. A house designed by a really important, really seminal architect named Rudolf Schindler, who really was one of the, along with Neutra, was one of the people who sort of established that low-slung, glassy California modern house. And we were going to do his home that was called the Schindler Chase House. That was another one.
We also don't have an iconic New York setback skyscraper, and we certainly could have done the Empire State Building or the Chrysler Building, but we wanted some unexpected choices in the programs. You know, I think, needless to say, everyone already knows about the Empire State Building. So instead, we focused on the Seagram Building in New York, which is a later glass and steel skyscraper by Mies van der Rohe from the 1950s. But we had considered strongly including the Woolworth Building in its stead.
Looking at the Seagram Building, you talked in the program about the materials, the composition. You mentioned the notion of being set back, the plaza of the Seagram Building. Talk a little bit more about this iconic piece of architecture from the mid-century.
Well, you know, Chicago, where we are, was the home of Mies van der Rohe. Mies was kind of the father of the glass and steel box. And I think when you watch the program, one of the things that comes through is that today, when we look at these glass skyscrapers of the mid-20th century, some of the very severe kind of austere ones, they're not always beloved. But when you look at the work of the master, of the originator of this style, Mies van der Rohe, there's such a tremendous attention to proportion, to detail. Mies would obsess endlessly about literally the proportion of one window as projected over the entire facade and how the building should be sited on its lot? You know, should it be the narrow end facing the street, the wide end facing the street? Should it be off on a corner of the lot? It was almost like these really austere, minimalist, prismatic kind of sculptures that he was creating, kind of like that slab at the beginning of 2001, A Space Odyssey, you know, that everyone's kind of looking at. So he saw them as these sort of sculptural forms, very minimalist sculptural forms. And, you know, every detail of that was something he obsessed about.
Including the materials, and in the case of the Seagram building, it's bronze. The entire curtain wall, with the exception of the glass, of course, is bronze. But also, as you point out, the other key to the Seagram building is the huge empty space in front of it, the plaza, which was kind of envisioned as a respite from the hustle and bustle of a city like New York. But unfortunately, as that was copied far and wide and all over the country, instead of these oases in the city, what you ended up having were these huge empty spaces that kind of sucked the life out of a lot of American cities.
Hey, guys, we here in mid-Michigan are a mere 3 hours drive away from Chicago, so it's a frequent destination for many mid-Michiganders. Can we touch on the Robey House and how that building changed America and influenced so much?
Dan, we're pointing at each other like, you want to take
you
this
take
one?
This one.
Can you tell we've been doing this for a long time? Its architect called it a source of worldwide architectural inspiration. Humility wasn't Frank Lloyd Wright's strong suit.
You see, early in life I had to choose between honest arrogance and hypocritical humility. I chose honest arrogance.
The Robey House really was a radical... You know, there's a really amazing image at the very, very beginning of the show, so tune in at the very top, because there's a picture of Robey House, and then it kind of goes... whoosh, 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 and kind of morphs into a suburban ranch house.
Yeah.
And you can make a case, and actually one of the architectural historians in our program does, that, you know, the modern low-slung, you know, mid-20th century and beyond ranch house owes a great debt to Frank Lloyd Wright's ideas about these sort of earth-hugging buildings that he called, or that came to be known as the prairie style. Frank Lloyd Wright had taken what was kind of the typical sort of box that was an American house in the Victorian era, and sort of flattened it out, opened it up, created these flowing spaces within the house instead of these little box-like rooms, which was, in his belief, more in line with the way modern people were living. You know, women were becoming more empowered, and they didn't want to be sort of sealed up in little rooms. They wanted to be able to see their family out in the rest of the house and move seamlessly from the house out into the world. That's, these homes have ribbons of glass windows. So very influential.
Let's talk about a building from 10 buildings that changed America that is a factory, and it's the closest one to us where we're speaking to you from now. That's the Highland Park Ford plant by Con.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Everyone's heard of Henry Ford, of course, and the moving assembly line. But what not a lot of people know is that the moving assembly line might not have been possible if it were not for the factory building that the assembly line evolved in, the Highland Park Ford factory by Albert Con.
When Henry Ford told the architect Albert Con that this is what he wanted him to design, Con thought he was crazy.
Con was not the first one to think that Henry Ford was crazy.
Con couldn't imagine why anyone needed so much uninterrupted space under one roof. But Ford would need it to introduce his moving assembly line.
Remember, Henry Ford was a visionary and a dreamer, and he saw things that no one else saw.
This concrete frame.
Essentially, he uses, you know, before that, factories were basically these big piles of bricks that had tiny windows as you go up toward the top of the factory building, and very confined spaces, which obviously is not ideal if you're looking to create a continuous assembly line. What Con does is he builds the factory out of reinforced concrete. This is a a kind of reinforced concrete that was actually patented by his brother. And he uses this strong concrete to create these huge open spaces, the kind of open space that Henry Ford needed to build the moving assembly line. But he also is able to create these enormous windows that let plenty of light and fresh air into the factory building, which obviously, if you're working with heavy machinery, it helps to be able to see what you're doing and to be able to have fresh air. Of course, the interesting part of the story is that Albert Kahn is Jewish. He's the son of a rabbi. And Henry Ford is a notorious anti-Semite by most accounts. And so we're not quite sure how they were able to work past that, but they were actually able to build 1,000 factory buildings together over the course of their career, starting with the Highland Park Ford factory.
Lansing area people can see something similar with a motor wheel building, which is in Lansing on Saginaw Street here in mid-Michigan. Guys, what's next for you? What might be in the works that you could possibly share?
So we've got another local program airing here in Chicago, which I'm sure your listeners will also be able to watch online, called Chicago Time Machine, where we'll be bringing Jeffrey back in time at locations around Chicago. But I'm also in the midst of putting together a proposal for 4 more of these 10 great, we're calling it, for this series. So looking at maybe doing a program about houses, a program about monuments, another about parks, and another about towns. So we're looking to do a few more of these, hopefully.
Well, we'll look forward to more from Jeffrey Baer and Dan Protest, the creators of PBS's 10 Buildings That Changed America, produced by Dan and Jeff from WTTW in Chicago. The program airs again Saturday, 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. on WKAR World. Jeffrey and Dan, thanks again.
Thanks.
Peter, thank you so much.
For Current State, this is Peter Wharf.